You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have an adorable top five for you, Steve. What is that top five?
We're counting down our top five favorite pooches.
That is correct. We have a great show for you, so let's get to it. So, Steve, we should probably open up this week's podcast by telling people what happened this past week with our podcast. We met up. We had a great podcast. Probably the best podcast we've ever had. I mean, you were finally charming. I finally articulated myself during my explanations very well. There was actual applause, a standing ovation from our in-studio audience.
Big week for us.
It was a big week. But what happened was my computer was like, hey, this podcast is just too good, and jettisoned the entire thing from my hard drive.
Jettisoned. Nice. I like that.
That's right. That's right. So that's why we weren't up last week. We apologize. It's our first time in a while that we've had technical difficulties.
Yeah.
So we apologize. I blame it on Steve.
Well, I clearly blame it on Wes.
Well, I blame it on my computer.
Well, I blame it on you.
Yeah, fair enough.
But we're back and better than ever.
That's right. So Steve, what's going on with you?
Dude, playing that XCOM. Still really? Grinding the long war.
My God, looking at you right now, you look like you're about to collapse.
So there's this woman on my in my army, and I've already like tabbed her as like, yeah, you're gonna be like the general of, or like the major, you know, like, you're gonna be one of the heavy hitters for my army. Mm-hmm. And like her nickname is the Angel because she's my medic and all she does is like support stuff, and she's awesome. Mm. She got injured like a month ago, because that's the thing in Long War. When your dudes get injured, it's like, he's out for 5 days. It's mm-hmm. like, he's out for a month.
Whoa!
And so in that month, you run like, I don't know, 15 missions. You know, mm-hmm. so like, they miss a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So she finally gets back from like saving this other dude's life on the previous mission. And she's been like, yeah, she's back. The Angel's back, everybody. Like, here she comes. And I throw her the mission. And she gets critically wounded. Like, no! Son of a bitch! So she goes in, she kills like 3 dudes, and she's out for 28 days.
Like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. It's like, God, but like, I'm not playing where I restart everything, you know, like, so I'm like, fine, just gotta let it roll. So like, now in the meantime, all these other dudes are gaining experience and moving on, and she's like, just sitting in her hospital bed. Like, how's the war? Oh, you'll get out there again, Angel, I promise.
And immediately get critically wounded.
Yeah, so like, it's like, man, there's a handful of dudes in my army that I'm like, yeah, I like these guys. And she's like number one, and she hasn't fought in like 2 months.
Oh my God. It's like the soccer player that breaks his leg, so he's out for a month. And then he's finally the big return game, and he runs out into the field and immediately sprains his ankle. Like,
actually, even a more apropos version of this, do you know about, I know you're not a sports guy, but this is just a karma thing. Do you know about the guy and the pitcher and his arm? If that doesn't lead you to it, then you don't know what I'm talking about.
Is this the movie Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Henry Rowan Gardner, I think is his name.
Sure. The kid with the arm of gold.
That's him.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there was this pitcher, I want to say like late 90s, early 2000s. I'll keep this short. This guy, young guy, just makes it to the MLB. He throws a pitch and he tears the ligaments in his arm, and he has what they call Tommy John surgery, which is really, really common, but it's 1 year of rehab and surgery and all stuff. So like, cool, Tommy John, see you in a year. That's how it goes. So cool, he gets Tommy John, and he comes back to the majors like 1 year later. Like the third pitch he threw, he tore the same stuff, same ligaments, broke his arm. He comes back again.
Oh my God.
And it happens again.
No way.
In 3 years, he pitched a grand total of like 3 games.
Oh my God.
Poor guy, dude. Poor guy. Ugh. But yes, it's, if tearing your arm ligaments is the same as being shot in the face by aliens to the point you almost die.
And let's say it is.
Then it is.
Good.
Yeah.
What's the thing named the angel?
It was.
Now,
it
wow, was. See? Yeah. Similar. Very similar.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, the only exciting thing that's been happening, that's not true. The only exciting thing that I have a time to talk about today is the fact that I went to an adult toy store for the first time with an intent to buy.
Okay.
Yeah. And walking, I don't think I've ever been one in one since college when, you know, you and your bunch of stupid 20-year-old friends like, let's go to an adult toy store. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember. That's exactly how I sounded when we were friends in college.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Boners!
Yeah. Just to see what one was like. This time around, I was like, okay, I'm going to go in there. And you know how I shop. I go in there like a
bat out of hell.
So I was going to say.
Like a bat out of hell, I go buy a dildo.
It's like I'm not a browser. I know what I want, and I go in and get it. But like just walking around, I'm like, what the hell does half these things do?
Yeah, let's just say there's something for everybody in there, huh?
Yeah.
Or wow. Something for no one.
Exactly.
Lots of stuff for no one.
How much of this do you sell? This saddle with spikes on it. Like, oh, zero. Zero things.
But it looks cool, huh?
That's right.
I guess.
There's one dude out there that is looking for this.
Yeah, it's like the Knights of the Apocalypse. Like, that's the saddle they use on their steeds. Like, okay. Alrighty.
What is this? Paddle ball with the... No, I can't even. I'm not even going to... No.
Yeah, there's some... There is definitely some stuff in there, man.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is like, you can see the functionality of it. Like, it's like certain like pillows and different lubrications and like, you can eat this and blah, but like, by the way, edible underwear is the grossest thing
I've never had
that I can imagine.
Never had it.
The grossest.
What is the purpose of it? You just eat it right off? You
eat
lick
it right
off
her. Nom 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 nom. Yum 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 yum. Give me your underwear. Yum 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 yum.
Because whenever I picture edible underwear, I just picture you wearing cotton candy. You just start licking away. And
it's
all it's
actually, all it is just a really interwoven candy necklace.
Oh. like a cereal Fruit Loops necklace?
Yeah, it's all hard candy. So when you eat them, you have to turn your face to the side and like use your incisor and like crack it. And it's you got to be careful with those things.
Oh, wow. It's like a series of Tootsie Pops.
How many licks does it take to get to the center?
Too many.
Oh, my God.
God, it's been 3 days.
Everything is just goopy and sticky, and my tongue hurts.
My mouth is numb.
This is awful. And I lost my job. So I've been here the whole time.
That's right. And I have diabetes. I've eaten nothing but sugar.
Oh, man.
So if any of my older female relatives are listening to this, I recommend you just fast forward for the next pretty much entire podcast.
Yeah.
For the rest of the podcast we ever do as well. Because I'm going to tell you what I got. So I got Legos for the first. No, I'm just kidding.
Erotic Legos.
So I got a cock ring.
Okay.
Yeah, vibrating cock ring.
Oh, so you went... With deluxe.
That's right. Nice. I need the deluxe cock ring.
Hey, well, if you come on over here, we got yourself a nice, reasonable economy cock ring.
Oh, really?
It's going to get you from point A to point B. Good gas mileage.
Wow.
You can hook your iPod into it. It's nice. Oh, you could step up to the Bentley of cock rings.
What? Oh, my God. Listen to that, baby purr.
That's right. That's a Honda engine in there.
And like we walk up, and I'm like, you know,
me and the cock ring.
Me and the cock ring. We're holding hand a ring,
Charlie, as we call him.
That's right.
What's up, Chuck?
I asked the attendant there, like, do you have vibrating cock rings? And she's like, yeah. let me bring you to the beginner side of the store. So we walked up, and this is maybe a little TMI about me, but anyway. So I was like, I don't think those are gonna necessarily fit on me. And she's like, oh, don't worry. And she grabs one, and she pulls it and puts it around her forehead. It's like, you don't think it's going to fit? I'm like,
no.
Absolutely not.
No. It's amazing when, like, when they do that thing where, like, oh, this condom won't fit. And the guy, like, or woman, whatever it is, you know, puts her whole arm in it or something like that. I'm like, yeah, but it's going to cut off the circulation real fast. So let's keep in mind we're not wearing this thing for 10 seconds here, okay?
Sure, sure. Also, I didn't realize this. And again, this is getting blue. We're not even at the 10-minute mark.
But to be fair, by the way, I just want to say this sentence. No one wants a saggy cock ring. That's a sentence I've been waiting to say.
Good. I'm so glad I could set you up for that one.
Thanks.
Did you know that it has to go around everything down there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that. I'm like, you're joking. She's like, no. She still had the cock ring around her forehead. So I cannot take you seriously with that thing on your face.
So yeah, you got to put the whole package up in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
The whole bits and giblets.
The bit. Yeah. You have spent some time in erotica, friend. My God, the bits and giblets.
Sorry, that was the brand name of
Of Chuck.
Yeah, old Chuck. We're not that familiar with each other yet.
Yeah.
So this only happened a few days ago.
Chuckles, bits, and gibbles. That's him. Yeah. That's him. Also sounds like the worst dog food. But
yeah, bits and giblies.
Bits and giblies. Chiggle bits.
Chiggle bits.
That's it. You know, it's for fat dogs.
Are we even saying words?
No, we've lost it. We're off the rails.
Good. So I think it's time.
To talk more about the erotic Chuck.
I mean, I...
Have you had the opportunity to use Chuck yet?
No, because my lady friend had to cancel last minute.
Did you tell her what you...
I didn't.
See, I don't know if that would make her cancel with more enthusiasm.
Like, now I really have to cancel.
Before, I was lukewarm on going out with you. Now, I am steadfast. I decline. You and your gibble bits can get the hell out of here.
But I'll be seeing her again. That sounded ominous.
But I'll be seeing her again, whether she knows it or not.
So, I mean, maybe I'll let you guys know how it goes. Maybe not.
Maybe you could do a recorded field report there.
Oh, yeah, because everyone just wants to hear that.
Just pull the phone out and be like, all right, Steve, here I am at ground zero. In the background, it's boom, boom, boom. Chuck is doing some work, my friend. These balls have never felt better. All right, Steve, we'll pick this back up in the studio.
That's right. You notice you don't hear the woman saying anything because she's still trying to figure it out.
She's like, what have I done?
I've made a huge mistake.
What decisions in my life led me to this point?
Here, help me.
No, that's different.
Oh, yes, yes, sorry.
No,
we're not.
Too far.
Yeah. Oh, that was it. That was, we hit it.
God, what? Donald Trump over here.
Okay, now we're getting to it. This is now a Donald Trump podcast.
So speaking of vibrating phallic attachments.
And let's take a break.
This podcast brought to you by Jingle Bits.
Jiggle Bits and Jibblies.
You know, the things inside of turkeys. Yeah.
I think it's a great time to get to emails from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the podcast 2 weeks ago was the top five stand-up specials. And let's see, we have, again, words coming at me, through me, really well.
This guy, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the people, Wesley.
TJ Bozarth, a.k.a. from Oogie with Love. He writes in his top five stand-up specials. His number five is Jay Moore's My Turn.
Jay Moore.
Have you thought about that, man?
Not since, like, 94, I don't think.
Sure.
When does it say when this special is from?
78. No, he doesn't say.
Man, Jay Moore. Okay. Jay Moore, to me, was... Because I never really paid that much attention to him. He just reminded me of, like, poor man's Dennis Leary in some kind of way. That may be totally inaccurate. It just may be...
They're both white tall men with
blonde hair
that were doing stand-up at the same time. It may be that.
I'm sorry. Do all white people look alike to you, Steve?
I don't want to say you people.
His number four is Anthony Jeselnik's Thoughts and Prayers. Now, I've seen this one, and it is a good one.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's on Netflix.
What's his name?
Anthony Jeselnik.
Jeselnik, okay.
Jeselnik.
Jeselnik.
Not the other term. Jibbles and bits. His number three is Mitch Hedberg's Mitch Altogether.
That is an excellent pick. That was a honorable mention for me. Talk about a totally unique style that is not confused with anybody else, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Very unique voice. His number two is Christopher Titus's. I don't know if these are typos or if these are the actual names of the specials. Norman Rockwell is Bleeding and Love is Evil.
Do you know Christopher Titus?
No, but we talked about it last week.
Yes.
Yes. And you bring it up again.
Hey, why don't you say it again, asshole?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Remind me.
So for those who don't know Christopher Titus, I'm actually really excited that he put this on his list. Because he also, in my opinion, is a pretty unique storyteller in the way that he does comedy. That it's, you know, a lot of stand-up comedians have that air of, hey, well, we're just kind of standing here at the bar, and you know what else is pissing me off? This thing. Hey, let me tell you about my cab driver on the way here. You know, this kind of thing that, like, it's not an organic, natural, flowing improvisation that they're doing. It's scripted. It's rehearsed. He knows, she know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But gives the appearance of that. Christopher Titus is very much like a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
That it seems more scripted, and the way he talks in a very articulate and forceful kind of way, and this is how I'm going to do this thing because this is how I've rehearsed it, this is how I wrote it, these are the words that I say like this, and he's got this really kind of like forward moving energetic way of telling his stories, and I really like it a lot. I like it a lot, so I'm really glad that this got on the list.
Fair enough. Okay. Is it on Netflix?
I don't know. That one I don't know.
Okay. Well, his number one is Daniel Tosh's True Stories I Made Up.
God, I love Daniel. I didn't realize how much I liked Daniel Tosh until he showed up a couple more times on the Sirius satellite radio that was going through. Mm-hmm. He was like, here's some Lewis Black and this and whatever. And then I was like, Daniel Tosh. I'm like, yeah, Tosh.0. Because that's like the main thing for him now. And it went back to some of his early stand-up, and I was like, ooh, I like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like you, Daniel Tosh.
Now, he's also a tall white man with blondish hair.
Yeah, we're talking about Dennis Leary, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, he's great.
Let's see. Oscar writes in his top five. His number five is Hannibal Buress, Animal Furnace. It's on YouTube and Netflix. Yeah. Hannibal Buress, it's a very strong comedian. Just didn't make my top five.
Yeah, he's also a native Chicagoan, I believe.
That is correct. His number four is George Lopez. Just him and it's just him in general is what he said.
Was the name just him in general.
Yeah. It's
George
also
Lopez?
Yep.
Huh.
A likely story.
Interesting.
His number three is Cat Williams, just him in general.
He also in general?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great venue. I love seeing shows in general.
His number two is Gary Gulman's In This Economy, It's About Time.
Don't know it.
Neither do I, but it's on Netflix. Like all these, he said, are on Netflix.
Oh, excellent.
So, his number one is Ben Bailey, Road Rage, also on Netflix.
Yes, I like the accessibility.
See, this is why we do this podcast, the real reason. So you guys, we could talk about what we like, and then you guys write in what you like, and then we can go see that stuff.
Wow, Wes, is that how it works?
Again, words of the people, for the people, by the people. Wesley Whitaker,
wow.
2020.
Yeah, I got to check some of those out, man. I don't, I'm not the biggest fan of Cat Williams. It's not my cup of tea, if
sure.
you will. But I'm interested in checking out. Maybe I need a little more George Lopez. I don't know.
Have you ever said that, ever?
No, that is...
Do you want to take a moment?
Two things today, never said before. Maybe I need to watch more George Lopez. And nobody wants a saggy cock ring.
We are breaking new ground.
Words for the people, by the people. Steve, 2020.
But Steve, enough talk about people who are funnier than us. Well, we don't know for sure. We haven't seen their stand-up specials yet.
I'll go with George Lopez.
Are you sure?
No, George Lopez. I mean, George Lopez. I gotta talk about George Lopez just for a second.
I gotta talk about George Lopez just for a second.
Okay.
Because I can't handle George, like a full show of George Lopez.
I got bad news if you're going to watch his stand-up special.
But I could chop that up into more palatable pieces.
Yeah. Minute-long clips?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess really all I'm trying to say is I've heard something funny from George Lopez before.
And that's all you need.
Right? So yeah. I mean, there's got to be some more in there.
Sure. He's got to have said one other thing.
Right?
That's funny.
Minimum. There's one other. Buy one, get one free. Come on.
Yeah, come on now, George.
Come on now.
Yeah. So we had to move on to this week's top five, which is, what is this week's top five, Steve?
Top five George Lopez jokes.
I can't wait. I couldn't narrow it down to five.
So I did 50. No, we did our top five favorite dogs.
That's right, from the land of TV, movies, and or video games.
You know what? I mean, you've got a dog.
And you have a dog.
And I also have a dog. We love pooches. We're pooch people.
That's right.
So we want to celebrate our favorite pets, our pooches.
Our favorite pooches in entertainment.
So, I mean, there's different reasons why you might have different dogs on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I like throwing D's in front of dogs.
Yeah, you do.
That's fun. So, Wes, why don't you start us out with your number five favorite poochie?
All right, well, my number five, and you only made my list because he made this movie. My number five is Sam from I Am a Legend. What's that?
I said, well, yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
It's a great pooch.
It's a great pooch. And he made that kind of shitty movie worthwhile up until the point where, spoiler alert, he dies. And
ooh,
it's heartbreaking.
Eww.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, just, I mean, I was having a lot of fun talking about pooches. And then as soon as someone just mentions the idea of a dog dying, I'm like, oh no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Why the poochie, though?
Why do the poochie have to die?
What did the poochie do?
You know what he did, Steve? He saved Will Smith's life.
Will Smith's life?
Yeah, you heard me. Words by the people.
You know what? I mean, if we're looking back at the movie, I mean, shouldn't it have been the other way? Shouldn't Will Smith have died to save the dog's life?
That's what I'm saying. Because the dog was working towards that cure.
Dr. Dog.
Dr. Dog.
Hello. Dog here. Working on the cure. Allow me to eat my poop first.
I have to be a good boy.
I'll be right on this. But my owner said, stay.
Damn it. Sam, cure the plague. On it.
Got it. Wasn't the dog in I Am Legend actually played by Jaden Smith?
He was. That's right.
I'd say Jaden Smith's best role.
To date.
To date.
And I saw the new Karate Kid.
Oh, his worst role.
Oh, no. He made After Earth as well.
What do you think is a more difficult list? Top five George Lopez jokes or top five best Jaden Smith anything?
I think it's top five saggy cock rings. That's got to be it.
I don't know why, but I want to say this, too. No one wants the JNCO jeans of cock rings. Just going to say that one time, too.
Wow, Steve, things you've never said before and will never say again.
I mean, I might keep that in the old chamber there.
Yeah, it might be in your back. It might be your new catchphrase.
I mean, I might tell someone that they are a loose cock ring. Because what would you rather be? Would you rather be referred to as a loose cock ring or a too tight cock ring?
A loose cock ring or a too tight cock ring? Being referred to as a cock ring,
yeah, I mean,
by itself.
No matter what, obviously this person is saying you are subpar,
yeah,
in some way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would rather be a tight cock ring.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Because
at least you're doing your job.
And you're real high strung. That's sort of a loose cock ring. Ugh.
It's like you slip right off and you fall to the ground.
Ugh. Covered in various fluids.
Oh, yeah. You just stick right to it.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
So my number five top cock ring.
Yeah. That's my number five, Sam from I Am Legend. The perfect fitting cock ring of dogs. This is...
It's gold, baby. It's gold.
Oh, man.
You know what? Talking about age-appropriate things. Number five, I'm going with Goofy.
Goofy?
Goofy.
What?
Yeah.
From I take it from the Disney?
No. That dude that's on the corner begging for change. You know, Goofy Willis?
Oh, Goofy Willis. I love that guy.
Dude, Goof's out there?
He's as funny as George Lopez.
Oh, man. I thought he was funnier than that.
Oh, no.
Talking about Goofy, dude.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. I'm not a, like, in the core group of Disney characters of your Mickey, your Minnie, your Donald, your Goofy. Like, I always prefer the Warner Brothers over the core group. But the next ring, if you will.
I just might.
The next ring, Disney is so much better. I mean, because they go so much deeper that, you know, with Aladdin and all of the Disney princesses and Lion King, all of those are so much better. But, like, core characters, I was always like, man, I just like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. I like them better.
Mm-hmm.
Except Goofy, man. Goofy was, like, the best friend to everyone. Just, like, that dumb guy that, like, no one's mad at.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's mad he's dumb. Mm-hmm. No one's mad about it. Everyone expects him to be a little stupid.
But if they get mad at him, he's like, my name is effing Goofy.
I'm a Goofy motherfucker. It's in the name. So, like, Goofy was just, everyone's like, ah, dude, yeah, bring Goofs. Come on, Goofy, let's go. Like,
Yeah. Everyone
was cool with Goofy.
That's right.
So, like, you know, Mickey and Minnie, ooh, what are they? Are they on the outs? I don't know. Donald's always pissed about something.
That's right. Well, he has no pants.
I mean, where are the man's pants?
That's why he's so mad.
And Goofy's like, hey, he's like the college stoner guy. He's like, hey, dudes. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hang out. Let's do some stupid shit.
Let's fall off this cliff.
Right? And no one gets hurt.
That's right.
Because I'm here.
That's right. I'm just Goofy.
So, like, he's not your traditional dog down on all fours and not curing diseases. He's just a general chill dude. And if you're going to put that, like, of all comic or animated characters, Goofy is at least on the spectrum, on the side of, yeah, I'd hang out with that dude.
I think he's on a few different spectrums, actually.
I think you're right. Yeah. But it's like, hey, do you want Goofy around or do you want Mickey Mouse around? Like, oh, dude.
Oh, Goofy.
Goofy all the way.
Just make sure to child-proof this apartment.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he's fun for, like, you go on, like, a long weekend trip with Goofy and it's like Friday and Saturday are really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of late on Saturday night, you're like, okay, Goofy, all right,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then Sunday, as you're like prepping to go back, you're like, okay, we're gonna be silent on the ride home. Is that clear, Goofs? It's time to shut up, Goofy.
God, everything you touch, you hit eject on the DVD player, and it wound up jumping into your mouth. How does that happen?
It's like, God, Goofy, fuck, God. Just don't ruin it.
You tried flushing the toilet and you fell off a cliff.
But see, that's Sunday Goofy.
Ah.
On Friday, he hits eject, ends up in his mouth. You're like, oh, Goofy. Oh, you're so funny, Goofy.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, better Goofy than that sociopath Donald Duck.
No one hangs out with him, period.
Yeah, and better him than that annoyingly voiced Mickey Mouse, that know-it-all.
God.
That uppity ass.
Or that did you know who does the voice for Mickey Mouse?
No.
It's George Lopez.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I should have known.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still no funny jokes.
Zero.
Yeah.
It's my number five is Goofy.
My number four is Chance. I couldn't decide. Chance and Shadow from Homeward Bound for this one reason. Homeward Bound is the first time I remember crying uncontrollably for because I was so happy.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, when Shadow, the older dog.
He's a golden retriever, right?
He's something like that.
Yeah, he's a dog.
He's just an effing dog, Steve. Shut up as I'm talking. So he has an accident, and we don't know if he survived. And then, you know, the cat shows up, and everyone's happy. And Chance shows up, and everyone's happy. And then the older boy is looking off towards the horizon, being like, is Shadow gonna show up? Is he gonna crest that hill? He's like, no, I don't think so. He turns around, And then we see Shadow. And then we see him crest that hill. And then the boy takes one last look back. And he starts shouting, Shadow! Shadow! He starts running toward them. And Shadow starts shouting out, oldest son.
Boy.
Boy. Boy. Boy. Whatever your name is, boy. And oh my God, my tears were streaming down my 6-7-year-old face. I was just so happy.
See, we talked about this last week, but I purposely shut this movie out of my life because it made me cry a lot and feel a lot when I saw it when I was also 6 or 7.
We can't have that.
No, it was like this tour de force of emotions. And I honestly don't even remember what happens in Homeward Bound. So I honestly thought they died at the end. I honestly, so when you're like, I cried so hard out of joy, I was like, oh, right, because they died. Like, I really thought they died.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they don't.
All of them?
I don't know. I'm sure the fucking cat lives.
Yeah.
Cat's like, well, fine. I'm just going to go.
Even the whole family died.
Yeah. Isn't that the one where the nuke goes off and the flames come out and then the kid is on, like, the swing?
Yeah, and Linda Hamilton's there.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happens, right?
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, Skynet becomes self-aware. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. Homeward Bound. Yeah.
The incredible journey. It's incredible.
Yeah. So I honestly thought they died. So that's the main reason I left them off, is because for the last 20 years, I have purposely blocked this movie from my mind. Like, Homeward Bound! Too many emotions! Can't do it!
Well, Steve, let me put your mind at ease. They survive.
I don't know if I believe you.
The old Yeller survives as well.
Well, yeah, duh.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one.
Yeah, come on. He fights up that bear or that wolf or whatever
Nazi
the hell.
Nazi bear? Yeah.
The Nazi bear.
Yeah, it's a Nazi bear. You obviously don't know dogs and bears.
Obviously not. That's what my number 4 is, Chance and Shadow from Homeward Bound, The Incredible Judgment Day.
My number 4 is almost the same exact pick, except it's late night talk show television, and it's Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
See, these last two dogs, I don't know if for sure they count. One's an anthropomorphic dog. He is a dog. And this one is a dog puppet. I'm going to give it to you, but you're on notice, sir.
I would like to point out that you did use the word dog in the explanation of both of these things.
All right. I'll allow it. But watch yourself, counselor.
Again, I mean, there's Old Yeller and there's Wishbone and, you know, like, you know what? I want to mix it up a little. I want to diversify the old portfolio here. Because again, we're not talking, it was our favorite dogs, like, you know, top dogs. It's not necessarily dogs that I want to have as a pet, or it's not that I'm in a dangerous situation. I need this dog to come and rescue me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just dogs that I like.
Well, I was going to say, you do spend a lot of time down in Wells, so.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. There,
but that's why I got my girl Lassie on line. She's a speed dial.
That's right.
Part of the reason that I like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog is that, obviously, we know it is not a dog.
Yeah. What? What?
We know that. But yet, I feel like even, like, the FCC and, like, the networks are like, well, we normally couldn't say this, but it's a dog puppet.
It's an adorable dog.
Smoking a cigar. It can say whatever it wants.
Oh, yeah.
So there's something, I mean, I don't really like attack humor, generally speaking, because usually it's only like a stand-up comedian standing up there and like looking out into the audience and being like, hey, you're a fucking weird-looking dude, you know, whatever. It's like, great. Andrew Dice Clay. Andrew Dice Clay is the first thing that comes to my mind, who I absolutely hate. I hate Andrew Dice Clay.
Is he an insult comic?
Do you not know Andrew Dice Clay?
No.
Oh my, super quick. So not like huge in the late 80s. Yeah, late 80s. And he talks like this, like, because I'm the Dice Man, and I talk about fucking bitches, and I'ma beat up your boyfriend and put on my balls on his face. And like, he is the worst. And he was huge.
Oh, man.
He was one of the biggest stand-up comics of the late 80s. And he's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
He's horrible. But there's something different to me about Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, is that it's so obvious that, like, you know what he is, and you know where he is going.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of sign up for it when you go there, and you allow this thing to happen. You're like, well, I can't be mad with the man with his hand in this puppet. It's just the dog talking.
Like,
there's something about it that is so unique in our, like, in our entertainment now that it's not something else that a lot of other people do, and I really dig it. Mm-hmm. And from time to time. And the Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog roast at the, or like, he essentially did a roast at the, like, the Star Wars premiere. I don't think it's for Phantom Menace. I want to say it's for, like, maybe episode 2 or something like that.
Okay.
With everyone all, like, dressed up, and he goes to the theater and just goes down the line. It's hilarious.
I have seen that one, and I love that one.
It's fantastic. So, it's just, he is a dog. I want to just throw, we've never ever mentioned Triumph the Insult Comic Dog in this entire podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Little love for Triumph.
There we go. All right. My number three, scatting there for a second. Did you hear that? My number three is, again, we've never talked about these two on the podcast, Old Dan and Little Ann from Where the Red Fern Grows. It is a movie. It's a few movies, actually. But I picked these two because of the book. Because this is, nerd. It's the first book that I remember
crying uncontrollably to.
Yep. I am an emotional wreck. Is what I'm trying to say. I'm asking for help. No,
it's interesting you say that though. And we kind of briefly touched on it, but it still happens to me to this day that in this world of Call of Duties and Doom and John Wick action movies and Mad Max, like, dudes are exploding everywhere. We kill people by the thousands in our entertainment. And we, like, I don't bat an eye. There is 1% of those deaths that are meaningful to me in some way. I'm like, oh no, maybe I feel an emotion. It's 1% for people. And it is like 85% of dog deaths that happen, I am torn up.
Yeah.
Torn up about
it. Oh, yeah. And this is in a book. And I remember crying. Basically, these two dogs, they're the best hunters in the land, and they're so freaking good, and they win all these competitions, and they take down a wolf or a cougar or a bear. I don't know. Trump Towers. They take down Trump Towers. They take down something and... and then they try to fight a bear, I believe, and then they fight the bear off, but one of them gets wounded, and it's a critical hit, if you will.
Oh, no.
He's out for 28 days.
No!
No. And he passes away, and then the other dog passed away a few days later, and it just destroyed me as a child.
Wow, that was perhaps the most heartless retelling of that story that there has ever been.
Yeah. So if you want a really heartfelt synopsis, make sure to come to this podcast.
I don't know. There's some dogs. They kill some shit.
they kill it.
And then they get killed. And then I cried like a little girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, like a little kid. I cried
come
like
on.
One. Because I was a little kid.
You know, did you hear what I said? They killed some stuff and then they got killed. You know. Tears! Come on!
Oh, you heartless bastard!
Come on!
You dry-eyed son of a bitch!
Come on, don't be a saggy cock ring! Come on!
Come on! That's my number three, man! They're great. They're great dogs. They're Old Dan and Little Ann. I mean, come on. They rhyme. Old Dan, Little Ann.
I mean, those are some great dog names. They really
they are.
I mean, I want to commiserate with you three, but...
You can't read.
It's not that. I don't know. You gave me no inspiration to watch it. Some dogs. They're good. They're good dogs.
Well,
then they then they died.
Ah, they're good dogs. Well, what do you want from me? They're great dogs.
Because isn't why the book is called Where the Red Fern Grows, isn't it because that is, like, this fern, this ultra-rare fern or whatever, like, grows where the dogs passed away?
Well, yeah, if you want to get all emotional about it. And they say, the red fern grows between the two graves, and they say an angel plants red ferns. That's what the fucking happened. Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. I gave you the bullet points. Yeah, you know, World War II. Hitler, he moves, we come in, kick his ass, that's it. Done. World War II, world saved. You got it.
Yeah, whatever. Again, bullet points.
Oh, yeah.
History 101.
Oh, yeah. Soviets, there. All right, there you go.
That's my number three, old Dan Little Ann.
All right, with a rousing support argument there, excellent. My number three. Now I'm going to go into the world of dog that I would like to have as my companion, as my best friend. And that is going to be from the world of Doug Funny. And I want that pork chop.
Okay.
What is that? What is that? Okay.
Go on.
No.
Go on.
No.
Oh,
launch
okay.
Your preemptive attack, you sick son of a bitch.
See, whenever you brought this up last week, and I could not stop thinking about how pork chop would look in real life. He'd look like a walking nightmare. He'd look like a dog-shaped monster.
Okay, real quick before we get into that. For those who don't know, it's one of the greatest cartoons of our era, and that's Doug. And Doug is your average Joe.
Yeah.
Your average Doug.
I will.
He's your average kid, like junior high into high school, figuring out what it's like to like a girl and blah, 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 all this stuff. And Porkchop is his faithful companion and never judged Doug no matter when he's playing fantasy or listening to the beats or trying to chase down Patty Mayonnaise. Porkchop always there, being the perfect ideal of a dog, helping him on his crazy capers and never judging him and always being there for Doug. Now, let us keep in mind that, yes, if you were to do one of those, like, 90s things and reach into the TV and pull out Porkchop into your living room, that is a beast that needs to be destroyed immediately.
Can you imagine bringing a lady over, introducing her to that vaguely resembling a dog terror? She's like, she runs away screaming.
However, let us also remember, in that world, Roger Klotz is green with a gigantic nose and what is essentially bacon for hair.
And his best friend Skeeter is dark green.
Dark green.
And his famous catchphrase is, ha ha!
That's almost like having me as a friend. Hey, Wes. Wait, oh, is this your girlfriend?
Oh, my God. Skeeter, can you please go away? Oh, God, he's broken. Oh, God, somebody shut him down.
Jesus, Skeets, come on.
My God.
Keep it together, Skeets.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I mean, this is not the world. And Mr., what was his name? Mr. Doink or Mr. Dink?
What are you saying to me?
Doug's like crazy inventor neighbor. He's purple. He's like a middle-aged guy. He's like, hey, Doug. No, that's not it. Hold on.
I think that's might be your number five.
That's Mr. Dink or Mr. Doink.
Mr. Dink.
Dink. He's always inventing weird shit. And like, hey, Doug, come check out this crazy contraption. That guy, pulling him out, he is also a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, Porkchop is probably the best looking thing in this world, besides Doug's parents, who are very nicely drawn.
And Doug's not bad. He's got really beady eyes, Doug, and stringy hair.
Doug's gonna be a tough sell.
That is true.
You pull Doug out of that TV screen, no one's gonna really want to befriend Doug.
No, you're right.
So at least with Porkchop, you can keep Porkchop in your house, and when guests come over, be like, hey, Porky, let's get in the bedroom. What do you say? But he's your buddy. He's your buddy.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, he can use human things as well. I don't know if that's a pro or a con.
Yeah, he maneuvers on all four all the time, except when it's convenient to use his paws, his hands, and then he does.
That's right.
There.
What? How flexible that must be.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if he turns into some sort of weird mutant dog here, but I still love him.
Okay. Wow. See, that's very deep of you.
Thank you.
Not surface level.
Thank you for expounding upon what it means to be deep.
You're welcome.
So, there you go. Suck it.
Yeah. Steve, that was a very heartfelt number three, which is?
Pork Chop, the mutant dog.
My number two is Charlie Barkin from All Dogs Go to Heaven. If you're talking about a dog with a narrative character arc, this is the dog for you.
I liked how immediately you got into, like, Carnival Barker there real quick. If you're looking for a dog with an arc you say, that's right, a character arc. Step right on up and find yourself a character arc inside a dog.
I forgot those old Carnival Barkers used to have conversations with themselves.
They sure did.
Yeah. Looking for a great ride. Great ride, you say? Yes, a great ride. Is that over here? Yes, it is over here. Come on down. Over here? Yes, over there.
That's right. Yeah, so you know.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about this character arc.
Nah, I don't want to.
That's it, my number two.
Yeah. No, it's a great character arc. He starts out as a con man, or a con dog, if you will.
I will, thank you.
And he swindles the wrong person, he dies, he goes to heaven, and because all dogs go to heaven, he steals the watch that sent him to, it's weird. He steals the watch, it goes back to Earth, but he's told if he dies again, he'll go to hell. Because one dog goes to hell, and that's Charlie Barkin.
So all dogs go to heaven, except one. And this story is about that dog.
So he befriends this orphan. I forget her name. And
God, why are there so many orphans in these stories?
I want to say her name is Annie, but I think that's another famous orphan.
I'm pretty sure that is a copyright infringement.
I think so, too. So he befriends and starts to swindle this orphan. Because I just realized he's a total dick.
Why are these orphans so prone for swindling?
My God, these gullible orphans.
God. It's like they want to be loved or something.
I know. Sure, I'm a talking dog. Come with me.
Nothing could go wrong.
But over the course of the movie, he starts to fall in love with this little orphan.
Sexually?
No! Oh. Come on, it's a children's movie.
Hey.
And we're a family show.
Obviously.
Clearly. And he winds up giving his life to save hers at the end of the movie. So he goes to heaven because he gave his life. He sacrificed himself for her. So there you go. What a great dog. I hope my dog sacrifices his life for me when my life is in danger.
Well, that's quite a sentence.
Yeah, that's something I've never said before.
I look over to your dog right now, he's like, no.
Nope.
Nope, I don't think so.
Unless it's a treat in it for me, I'm staying right here.
I gotta tell you, man, I'm noticing a trend here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm noticing a real trend
nope,
in this file.
What
was your
about.
Number five?
My number five was Sam.
Right. He's dead, right?
He died.
Yeah. Okay. And what was number four?
Yeah, it was Chance and Shadow. They didn't right. die. You
I thought,
thought
they,
did. They
died, but they were incredibly sad for a lot of it.
Yes.
Right, go ahead. And what's your number three?
Old Ann, Little Ann.
Oh, so you went two dogs there.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
They both died.
They both died.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went from a dog being dead to two dogs being lost and real sad most of the time to two dogs being dead. And now, what was your number two?
My number two was Charlie Barkin.
And what happened to Charlie Barkin?
He died twice.
He died twice.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure that you're number one. It's like, do you remember that Greek myth about the dog that is born every morning and dies every night? Do you remember that one? Because that's my number one. What a dog.
What a dog.
What a dog. You apparently do not like dogs.
See, I don't know why. You got me speechless, sir.
You apparently are like, oh no, I love dogs when they're dead or lost. It brings a smile to my face.
Because I like it when stories affect me emotionally, and all these stories did.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Life isn't Puppies, ice cream, and rainbows, Steve. There's some heartbreak in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, this list is mostly puppies.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry.
So it brings me to my number two. A little bit more uplifting, I think. And my number two is dog meat. Of course, your companion from Fallout 4.
I see.
For those who have not played Fallout 4, you wander through the wasteland, similar to I Am Legend, and you have access to several different companions, and you have humanoid ones, and like a cyborg dude, and like a mutant, and a bunch of different people, and each one of them will open up different like side quests, and you can kind of like fill out their story. But the first one that you find is this dog. It's this like German Shepherd looking dog, and his name is Dogmeat. And the reason Dogmeat makes my list is because whenever you find another companion, they're always judging your moves or whatever because they have their own things that they like. Like, one is really good at lockpicking and is kind of like a thief kind of person. The other one is there's, like, the right way. And, you know, like, is this, you know, like, the devout whatever towards the right path, whatever. And then, so you open up this safe in the middle of fucking nowhere. Everyone is dead. You're like, well, no one's using this med cabinet. I guess I'll see what's in there. And then it's like, your companion, like, doesn't like that. I'm like, hey, we're in the middle of the goddamn wasteland. I need some water. And he's like, I don't like it. But you know who doesn't do that? That's Dogmeat.
Oh, shit.
So what Dogmeat does is he carries a ton of your shit.
Nice.
He's like a pack mule. But he is a dog.
Nice.
So you can just keep loading him with all of this stuff that you find so you can go sell it later or whatever. And like he just you look over and he looks up at you, this big smiling bright eyes, and just boof, gives you a bark. That's it. He packs some more stuff on him and off you go, man. That's what dog meat does.
See, the only thing I don't like about dog meat is the name.
You can rename him. When you meet the companion, you have the chance of naming him, but that's the default name.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's most commonly referred to. So, I mean, I could name him Mr. Wesley Jinglebottoms. Good.
I don't know why you would.
I wouldn't. I didn't.
Good.
This left it is. Actually, when I did, it just named him Dog.
Yeah?
Yeah. It didn't.
You're very creative.
I didn't even do it. I don't think I did. I didn't actively put it in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. I just said Dog. And I think I was just, like, skipping through, and it's like, okay, that's it. That's what you get.
Okay, there you go.
I was like, oh, I didn't, oh, well, all right, dog.
Dog, just dog from now
it's
on.
Dog. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my number two, is the companion that I would want to have out in the wasteland is just the dog supporting me,
mm-hmm.
that's not judging me for, like, helps back me up, helps me carry some stuff, useful pooch. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm looking for.
All right.
So honestly, what I have not beaten Fallout 4 because I just got tired of playing that game. But for 90% of the game, I had Dogmeat as my companion, and it's really only because I had to have someone else for the other 10%.
Sure.
And I was playing with someone else. I'm like, ugh, stop talking. Like, oh, maybe we should head back this way. Like, hey, maybe you should shut up and get my dog back here.
Did you ever think about that?
Cyborg dude.
Oh, God. Preston Garvey. Is that a character?
Yeah. Preston Garvey. Don't get me started on Preston Garvey.
I will not.
Do not get me started on Preston Garvey.
All right. My number one is Preston Garvey. My number one is, I think it's obvious. I think it's going to be hopefully on a lot of people's top fives, is Ghost from Game of Thrones. I don't think he dies. Does he die?
Question mark.
I'm all up to date, but I don't remember him dying.
Are you up to date?
Yeah. He doesn't. No way, no!
Tell me why. I'm gonna verify because I kind of think Ghost is dead.
Because obviously direwolves are just like, they make awesome pets. And
speaking of a personal experience.
Yeah, they are loving to their masters and to the people who their masters like, but to their enemies, they are fierce and killers. They will tear out the throats. They are fierce in combat. And Ghost is one of the last remaining ones. So Ghost is a badass. And what a freaking cool-ass name. And he looks cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, and I like some of the shots that they put the direwolves in when they are... Because, like, they just kind of, like, top-down shots, and, like, they kind of pan to him, whatever, and you're like, and it's like, oh, it's a dog. And then they do the shots where it's like they put him in next to a person. You're like, oh, he's up to his mid-chest on that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a gigantic dog.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I got it.
The only thing that would suck about Ghost is he would go through dog food oh so fast.
Okay, so real quick.
No.
Here is your update on Game of Thrones of Ghost. So if you don't want to know, give yourself about a 1 minute here. I'm gonna read the last paragraph of the wiki entry for Ghost. Much like Grey Wind at the Red Wedding, Ghost senses the impending treachery of the Night's Watch and lashes out. However, John believes his behavior is due in part to a giant boar that the wildling skin changer Barak brought to Castle Black and keeps Ghost locked up in his quarters. As John is betrayed and stabbed by Bowen Marsh and his cronies, the mutiny of Castle Black, Ghost is unable to help his master. Ghost's fate remains unknown. Wait, that seems too old.
Yeah, that is way too old.
How is this not updated in this thing?
I don't know.
Cause, dude,
that's season 5.
Yeah, yeah, we are past.
We are season 6.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we'll just never know.
I guess Ghost didn't do anything in season 6, but I feel like we saw him.
I thought so too. I don't recall. Okay, so let's just say, for the sake of your list, he's dead.
I mean, he has to be dead.
He's on your list. He's dead.
He has to be, or at least we think he's dead for a portion of the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I love Ghost, and got serious. I thought about Ghost as well. And if I could have real life, despite the fact it would cost all of my salary to feed that dog,
mm-hmm.
and I'd have to take up hunting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he does not eat dry food.
Bits and giblets.
He's not. He's like, I'm sorry. Is this a bowl of bits and giblets? Do you know who and what I am? Like, I don't get down on this.
Mm-hmm.
That dog. Like, imagine like a burglar coming into your house, and like off the couch, like you're like, and it steps down, and then it gets taller.
Oh my God.
Well, I have to. Oh, is this not my house? Whoops-a-doodle. Whoopsies.
That burglar's limbs are being torn off.
Oh, yeah. Throat out, as you mentioned.
Yes, that's right. Yep. Comes right out. A lot of people don't know that.
It's actually, everyone's necks are made out of Legos. Just out. That's it.
That's right. Takes.
I love it. I want the dog. I want him. He's mine. Done. Moving on.
I believe he's my number one, you ass.
No, I have him now.
Okay, well, my number one is Ghost.
Well, my number one is a little dog named D-Dog. Again, not great names on the dogs.
Yeah.
But great pooches nonetheless.
I assume the D stands for dog, so his name is Dog Dog.
Dog Dog. That's him. And because that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
They're like, how about D-Dog? That also sounds stupid, but not as stupid. Not as stupid.
Dog Dog. Come here, Dog Dog.
Dog Dog.
Oh, boy.
Is that Pork Chop? Yeah, that's Pork Chop.
It's Pork Chop. Oh, he's a monster.
Monster.
Is Pork Chop the final boss of Metal Gear Solid 5?
Because D-Dog, of course, is from Metal Gear Solid 5. So I'm going back-to-back releases and back-to-back picks here. Both released last year in the fall. And the reason I chose D-Dog is because we're talking about the character arc here a little bit with D-Dog. Is that early in the game in Metal Gear 5, you're wandering through the desert or whatever, and you hear this little, like, arf, 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 and you come over, and there's this little kind of, like, husky-slash-wolf hybrid dog. And, like, and the game kicks in, and it's like, oh, Snake, it looks like this dog is out here. It's like, you could send it back to the base, or, I'm like, send it back to the base. Done. Shut up. Don't need to hear anymore. And then every time you go back to the base for several missions, when your helicopter lands, your buddy Revolver Ocelot, or at that point just Ocelot, is there, and he's got the little dog right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's his little puppy, and he can't even contain his excitement when he sees you starting to land, and he runs over, and Ocelot yells at him. He's like, no! He's like, stay! Like, you weren't told to go greet him. So the dog's like, and it comes back. And one of them, the dog tries to jump up into the helicopter right as you land, and it can't scoot its butt inside.
My God, it's so cute! It's so goddamn cute!
And then you come back the next time, and Ocelot's down there, And then there is this very stoic, sitting there, grown beast. Mm-hmm. It's like D-Dog's passed her training. She's ready to go on missions with you. I'm like, cool. Fire up the helicopter right now.
Come on, Dog.
We're going, Doggy. Let's go. And, dude, so does similar like Dog Meat, where it carries some stuff for you and can do whatever. But she also spots enemies for you and puts them on your map. And then as you progress, D-Dog progresses as well with the actions that it can do. So, like, you can set traps with D-Dog. Like, you can send him or her out and, like, have her start barking so guards go after her and you can sneak by, whatever. You can have her attack. You can have her stun guards. You can have her rip their throats out like Ghost. You can – she's super, super useful. And goddamn good looking, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's why D-Dog, number one, dude.
That's a good number one. I like it. My top five in review is Sam from I Am Legend. My number four is Chance of Shadow from Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. My number three is Old Dan Little Ann from Where the Red Fern Grows. My number two is Charlie Barkin from All Dogs Go to Heaven. My number one is Ghost from Game of Thrones.
Of course, your true number one is Dog Mass Murder.
That's right.
All right, my number five. That changed it up a little bit. I went a little goofy, actually, number five.
Yeah, there you go.
Your stoner roommate, Goofy. Number four, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Number three, went with that mutant pork chop. Number two, Dog Meat from Fallout 4. And number one, D-Dog from Metal Gear Solid 5.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Again, we apologize for not being here last week, but I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. And we want to hear your top five dogs.
That's right. We want to know your pooches. Tell us your favorite pooches.
That's right. And if it includes Sammy or Luna, Steve and I's dog, that's fine.
Encouraged, actually.
Exactly. So you can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out!